welcome to another edition of The Bike Show on Resonance FM. My name's Jack Thurston, and there's an awful lot on the show this week. We're going to be talking about critical mass and last Friday's enormous turnout. And it being Halloween today, we're looking at a new project called Ghost Cycle, which is about logging and mapping the sites of bicycle accidents to get a better idea of where the worst accident black spots are, and hopefully using this information to make the roads safer for everyone. But before all that, have you ever wondered what London bike messengers get up to at the weekends when they're not riding their bikes to make a living? Well, the answer is that they're more than likely to be riding their bikes to have fun. And with this in mind, I decided to go down to the rather unsettlingly named Pleasure Unit on Bethnal Green Road to witness the fourth edition of Rollerpalooza, a mad night of indoor bike racing. I caught up with one of the organisers, Buffalo Bill Chidley, who told me what the hell was going on.
The main reason for us having this event is because it's a load of fun. Like, basically get a load of smelly bike messengers in a room and get them racing against each other and getting drunk and stuff. But the other reason we're doing it is to raise some money for the Bicycle Messenger Emergency Fund, which is a fund that was set up in 2001 to provide financial support to bicycle messengers who've been injured whilst working. So, you know, to give them something like, it's like a little safety net. Nearly £1,000 have been paid out from the fund to London messengers. So we're just trying to put a little bit back.
So it's all in a good cause, and it is mayhem. What is exactly happening? I mean, how do these races... There's two bikes up on the stage connected to rollers. You describe it.
The best way to describe it is it's a race to fucking nowhere. Right, you get up there. It's a static bike on a set of rollers connected to a clock, right, by worm gear, and basically the red bike drives the red hand on the clock, the blue bike drives the blue hand on the clock. So it's a race of red against blue, head to head, and the first of the line is the winner. It's very straightforward.
But how long's the race?
Well, it's notionally 500 meters, but who knows? You know, who knows?
Does it feel like 500 meters?
It feels like 500 fucking kilometres when you're up there. It's the most unpleasant experience I could possibly imagine. Only a fucked up bike messenger would want to do something like
this. And
how
many people are entering into the race?
Well,
tonight?
Way too many tonight. I mean, we've got like over 40 entries. We had to close the entries. We've been oversubscribed. We're turning people away at the door. It's completely out of control.
Is there dope testing?
Yeah, anyone that hasn't taken drugs or drunk beer is not allowed.
Let's talk a little bit about the athleticism of bike messengers, because it does seem to be a big bike messenger crowd here. And I mean, you know, they ride around a lot in London, but you know, it's mostly flat. And actually, when you do see bike messengers, they're mostly there sort of sitting on the side of the road smoking a cigarette or getting pissed at the Duke of York's. I mean, this doesn't sound like athletic behaviour to me. Convince me I'm wrong.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're a dysfunctional group of people. Yeah, what can I tell you, Jack? I mean, you look at their bodies, they're obviously athletic. You know, I mean, there's not an ounce of fat. Your average bike messenger is not an ounce of fat. Obviously, there are fat bastards on bikes, but there's not an ounce of fat on most bike messengers. So they're obviously...
So bike messengers can hold their own against, but good club riders and all the rest of it.
Probably not, no. No, I mean, no, but it's a different sort of thing, isn't it? I mean, there's a good parallel between bike messengers and coal miners, in a sense that are really, really hard workers. They've got the buttons down the back, the same as coal miners, and you know, when they come off shift, if you want to call it, they want to get fucked up, and this is part of getting fucked up. It's like coming down here, drinking a load of beer, and getting on a bike and making yourself feel really ill. Hey, Casper, and this guy won Rollerpalooza 3, so he's actually the star of the show.
Right,
in number
one. Tell us on the bike show what it's like to win Rollerpalooza. How many rounds did you have to race?
I had to qualify. What was it? Six rounds, I think.
And did you think you were going to win? Did you reckon yourself to be like pretty fast?
No, this is a lie, because he trained.
I had no idea until the last 100 metres that I was going to win it.
No, you train. He actually trained.
I did train, but I didn't train for the roller race.
That's what we got now. We've got a roller race culture. and people are, you know, people know what it takes.
So did you invent the roller racing, or is it something that's been around for longer?
It's been around for years and years and years. And there's a really good article by a London messenger called Therese Bjorn on the Rapper website, which explains the history of roller racing. So it's like a throwback to the 50s. And it used to happen, every cinema in London used to have a set of rollers, and they used to have roller races before the cinema. So we kind of hit on it. I mean, it's almost by accident we've kind of got in touch with a bit of cycling history, and we're tapping into it. And that's because we're riding, you know. And yeah, what can I tell you? It's like messengers are real cyclists. It's not like we go to the shop and we buy all the gear, and we're actually out there riding, or they're actually out there riding. And we hit on this kind of formula of music and racing like this. Music, beer, fags and racing. What else do you want?
Let's go and sample a bit of the action and catch some of the races. And who's it? So it's a band. Who's on stage now?
The Deadly Treadleys. They're like London's best messenger band.
Deadly Treadleys have left the building, or at least gotten off the stage, and I'm going to try and get a little bit closer to the action and catch some of the races. It's now the final round.
On the whistle, are you ready? On the blue light, on the red light, on the
Nash to love is also on the outside. Towers is moving too.
Well, that was the utter mayhem of Rollerpalooza. The races went on until 2 in the morning, and the eventual winners were a guy called Jade in the men's category and Susanna in the women's category. They raised more than £400 for the Bike Messenger Support Fund. And if you're interested, the next Rollerpalooza is going to be held on Saturday, the 5th of April, 2006. Yeah, of course, at the Horseshoe on Clerkenwell Close.
Go!
Well, one of the greatest of all Motown covers is our crafty entree into Halloween. And more than that, I'm delighted to have in the studio Scott and Steve, who are responsible for a new project called Ghost Cycle, and they're here to tell us what it's about. Welcome to the bike show.
Cheers.
So I'll start with you, Scott. What is Ghost Cycle?
Well, it's basically based on an idea I saw when I was in Seattle recently. It's about tracking bike accidents, collisions, etc., where we're going to be putting up white painted bike frames around the city at accident hotspots, putting them onto telegraph poles with signs on them pointing to the website.
These are old bikes.
Old bike frames that we've collected over the last few weeks. We've got a few ready to go now. We'll be sticking them up in accident hotspots, and hopefully that'll get people to get onto the site and log details of their accidents, etc. And we're going to be plotting that on a Google map, which is included on our site. And we'll be collating some statistics over the next 12 months or so, and just speaking with the LCC and also with hopefully local councils and stuff like that.
So, Steve, this is kind of the extension of something that you did, about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago now, with Jeremy Deller, isn't it? With the bicycle memorial to James Foster.
Yeah, I guess it is. I mean, Scott was thinking of asking if he was interested, because it is quite closely related to the little...
What is it? I mean, outside...
It was part of his Turner Prize presentation.
Yeah, but it's a memorial to James Foster, who used to work at Mosquito Bikes.
Yeah.
It's a
small... It's just a little bike, isn't it? It's a silhouette of a bike put upon a lamppost. So it is... I guess it's similar, but the ghost cycle thing will be more evident on the street. And it's got a big, it'll have a big sign on it as well, so people will know exactly what it is.
And what's the attitude of the authorities to this? Because I've heard that they don't like these sorts of things. Although in countries like France, apparently the government's like in favour of these sort of memorials.
Well, as of yet, haven't really talked to any local authorities about it. We'll just see what happens when we start sticking the bikes up.
But lots of people leave bikes everywhere and they never move them.
All we're doing is sticking bikes up on a telegraph pole, just locking it up, just that they stay there. So it all depends on the local authority, I guess, as to how long they stay.
And so how are you finding out about these black spots or these places where bicycle accidents have happened?
Well, there's the obvious ones like the Blackfriars Bridge and the Old Street Roundabout and other places around London.
There's a comprehensive form on the website. People are able to log all the information about the accident or incident, and then we collate that into a database. But then they're logged onto the...
So people go onto the website if they've had an accident. It doesn't have to be like a serious life-threatening one.
No, anything.
Anything, absolutely anything. Just a little knock. It could be... It doesn't even have to involve a car. You could just be hitting a pothole. Could be absolutely anything.
And it's all going to be plotted. And how has it worked in Seattle?
There seem to be like around 70 ghost cycles just around the streets of Seattle. I saw a couple while I was over there just in the general inner city. But it seems to have taken off. There's quite a fair few. If you have a look at their site, which is ghostcycle.org, you'll see that the map of Seattle is just pinpricked with heaps of markers for incidents.
I mean, is there any way of getting the information from the police and the ambulance service?
Well, I guess we could do a freedom of information search or something like that. At the moment, the project's still in its infancy, and we're just going to rely on people logging onto the web page for the time being. We've been handing out flyers at critical mass over the last couple of months, and there's been a good response to that. We've been... we've had ghost cycles on the back of trailers for the last couple of critical masses, and there's been a lot of questions and some good responses. We had a real spike in our hit rate over the weekend after the big mass last Friday.
And so what is the website?
ghostcycle.org.uk. But I'd like to say, I think the important thing is that the information is current that we're collating our database on, rather than any information that any authority have, because they never have anything which is
or up to date?
Up to date. It's all like 3 years old.
Yeah. Well, good luck with the project, and I look forward to seeing the map when you've got enough data points to load up into the map.
Thanks
and,
very much.
And stick around when we're going to be talking about critical mass. And before that, here is a little bit of critical mass. Like many of the thousands of London cyclists, I went along to Critical Mass last Friday night. I'd heard about the possible police crackdown under the government's new public order legislation, and I wanted to express nothing much more than my right to ride my bike. And I've been to Critical Mass rides in London, Oxford and San Francisco for more than a decade, and I've always enjoyed the fun and friendship and the amazing feeling of riding along the city streets when they're quiet in large numbers of cyclists in safety, showing how the bicycle can solve the problems of congestion. And last Friday's ride attracted more than 1,000 people. It was an impressive show of solidarity. And to give them their due, the police acted in a pretty friendly and cooperative way from what I saw. But by the time the ride had reached Parliament Square and a group of people had decided to brandish their bikes in the air and bring things to a complete standstill, it dawned on me that really enough was enough. And I'm really glad I didn't stay with the ride as it went back towards the West End, but I've heard from other people who did that people blocked Oxford Street for almost an hour, held up buses and generally caused disruption everywhere they went. And I would ask people to spare a thought for all the people, all those shop workers on minimum wage who are trying to get home on a dark Friday night. And what kind of message is that sending back to people about cycling and cyclists? Friday's ride was a turning point for me. I think London's critical mass has always quietly tolerated those people who've tried to hijack it for their own causes, whether they're against Shell, McDonald's or the war in Iraq. But now it seems like critical mass has inverted its own founding creed of it being a bike ride and not a protest. Last Friday was not a bike ride. We could hardly move. It was a protest. It's become a convenient vehicle for every angry person who's anti-everything. And over the years, critical mass has undoubtedly raised the profile of cycling and contributed in its own way to the massive growth of bike riding in the city. And riding a bike is now a perfectly ordinary, accepted way of getting around town. And governments, from what I can tell, are broadly supportive, although it's always possible for them to do better. I ride my bike in London and see so many other people that it almost feels like critical mass every day. And a conversation I overheard on Friday sums it up perfectly. It was a bike messenger complaining in very good humour that he'd ridden 100 miles every day that week and that month, and he hadn't had a single mechanical failure. But he'd come along on critical mass for the first time in years, and he'd been rear-ended by another rider buckling his back wheel. Cycling in London has moved on, and critical mass now does more harm than good. But that doesn't mean giving up on group riding. Far from it. Any day of the month is a good day to get together with a bunch of friends or join up with a local group like Southwark Cyclists for one of their regular Thursday night rides. 6:30 p.m. on the south side of London Bridge. I'll see you there. Anyway, well, that's my polemic. And I'm delighted to join in the studio, to have joining me in the studio Rakan, who was running the Critical Mass London website, or one of the websites that was devoted to Critical Mass London. Welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show.
Hi.
It's only a few months since you were here, sat down talking about Critical Mass and urging people to go along. Have you had a similar epiphany?
Yeah, I think it's been happening slowly over the last 6 months, and I've been wanting to go on Critical Mass because I really enjoyed it. I remember my first few times, and I really liked the concept and the ideas behind Critical Mass. But I found myself, kind of when I've been talking to people about it or explaining what it is, I found myself telling them about something which, when I actually go on the ride, I don't actually find myself. So I've kind of representing like an ideal image of the ride in my head, which I tell people about, and then I go there and I don't even find this. And yeah, and this like really was like solidified for me on Friday's ride, which I found, I think with many other people, very frustrating in not only the speed, but also the behavior of many of the cyclists on it. And I think I disagree with what you've said, Jack, about it being people hijacking it with their politics. I think people, rather than, I think that's giving them too much credit and giving them too much agency. I think it's more just kind of pure anti-socialism and people just kind of...
People just wanting to obstruct for
yeah,
the sake
people
of obstructing.
Just disregard, just forgetting like what anything to do with riding a bike or anything, just saying, oh, let's just obstruct this, you know, for the hell of it, and then let's, you know, get in this person's face and stuff. And I think that's the core problem, and I can't see any way to resolve it at the moment.
So what have you done with the website?
So at the moment, I've stopped doing the Critical Mass website I run, and there's still a couple of other Critical Mass London websites around, and I'm saying that anyone who wants my domain name can have it if they make a good website.
And what Scott and Steve, were you were on the ride. What do you think about this debate? Do you think this is a debate worth having, or do you think we're splitting hairs?
I think it was a fantastic response to the threat that was made by the police that we got such a huge number of cyclists on the ride. I agree with what you were saying about people hijacking it to... there is a certain element of people who hijack it just to obstruct the traffic. I think that's quite a small element. If you look at the majority of the people who are on the ride, they were out for a good time. There are a lot of people there that I hadn't seen before.
But it doesn't take many people to change the whole thing, basically. They can... It's half a dozen people could easily just stop it. And because it's such a crowd, everyone stops.
And that's the problem with an unorganised ride, I think, in that sense, that because it's open to anyone and anyone can come along, even that the vast majority come along and will just... okay, behave perfectly, as it were. Like you say, it just needs a small minority to say stop at the front, and then the whole ride will stop and no one will challenge it because there's no kind of sense of responsibility involved.
So what's the solution?
I have no idea.
There did seem to be like a fairly high element of people not knowing how to cork intersections and just not... They obviously hadn't been on the ride before, which does make a difference. Like, you know, if people cork intersections properly and actually keep the ride moving, it does make a huge difference to the whole event.
Yeah, definitely. For me, the answer right now is to take some time out and not go on Critical Mass for a while and kind of ignore it, wipe it from my brain. But I imagine the answer in the long term is probably just talking about it more with people.
I mean, do we need it? Or is it time to invent something that is a bit less of a blunt instrument?
In the way, the main thing for me is that it's a really beautiful way to ride around town. And every time I've been on it, I've spent time... I remember the last one, going up Mayfair and thinking, there's some really nice buildings along here. And you never... You'd be a maniac to not look at the street and not look at the cars if you're going up there when there's cars going up there. So it'd be sad to just let it go and into nothing.
Well, maybe it just needs to be a little bit downsized, like everything else in the 21st century, so it can move around. Maybe it just needs... There need to be, like... hundreds of critical masses that all come from different parts of London that end in the same place, so that, you know, there's not this kind of blockage effect. I mean, I think cycling along with 30 people is one of the greatest pleasures there is in London, but 1,000? 2,000?
Yeah, maybe it gets it too big. It would be good, I think, to see lots of little rides. That'd be quite cool, especially if they went faster.
Well, thanks for coming in and starting the debate, which I know is going to be continuing on Resonance this week, and for the rest of the show, well, it's almost time's up, so I'm actually going to have to use my presenter's prerogative and make a small dedication to London's Critical Mass.
How you like me now? How you like me now? Dig it. You can't tell me how to run my life.